got it now. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. We're going to go ahead and break up this passage. I think this passage is wonderful. This is actually what the Lord is saying to the Israelites, but it has a lot of truths that we can apply to our Christian lives today. And so, first of all, I want us to focus on verses 5 through 6. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord, for he shall be like the heath in the desert." When it's talking about heath here, it's talking about a bush, and I have some pictures I'm going to show you here. "And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." So when you think of heath, you're thinking of this. When I went to college, in Lancaster, California, and you kind of saw this. This was kind of the landscape. I know Lexi went there, so she can attest to this, that this is true. Here, is this the place that we as Pennsylvanians would want to live in? Would we choose to live here? Probably not, right? There is not very much life. Obviously, these bushes are living, but it's almost like they're barely living. You know what I mean? They're barely hanging on. I mean, when I was there in California, in that part of California at least, it's different from where I grew up. You often saw tumbleweeds just rolling by. Actually, one time I was just talking with one of my friends and a tumbleweed just rolled right by us. And we were like, okay, that happened. And the thing is that these things do not flourish. I mean, at some point they don't take deep root, and then they get, you know, driven away by the wind. When I was talking about the salt land, this is what I picture. I know it's beautiful. It is beautiful picture-wise, and I love beautiful pictures like this. This is at sunset. It's a salt flat, I think, in Utah. I've never been there, but I pulled it up from the internet. And it's beautiful, but would anything flourish there? Nothing would flourish there, right? And so that's the picture we're getting of this cursed man or cursed woman. In contrast, we have these verses. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." Do you see that contrast? "And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And so the picture I get is this. It's so beautiful. I can just picture myself finding a nice spot under a tree with a book, and I can just read right there, probably with Levi screaming over there, but but it's beautiful, right? It's a completely different picture than the pictures that we pulled up before. I really hope that my life reflects this kind of an image, this kind of a spiritual life. I don't want to be living in the desert. I don't want to be living in the salt flats where it's barren. Now, how do we get to that point? I think we all, in the back of our minds, we know what we're supposed to do, and we're going to talk about those things, but I have some other extra stuff I want to put in there as well. So when we read these verses together, there's such a stark contrast between the man that is cursed and the man that is blessed, right? So I actually did a little chart, because I like charts, it's fun, so I put them next to each other. So the cursed man, he trusts in man, okay? The blessed man, he trusts in the Lord. The cursed man maketh flesh his arm. Okay, he's relying on man. Okay. The blessed man makes the Lord his hope. The cursed man has a heart that departs from the Lord. And we know that the blessed man, his heart is right there with the Lord. And so here underneath that, I'm just taking what was in the verses. Okay, so I have what the cursed man did, what the blessed man did, and then we have the effects. When I was in school, I loved learning about cause and effect. I'm a teacher now, and I just love it. In science class, the cause part explained why something happened. The effect was the description of what happened. So here we kind of see that. These things are the effects, okay? This is what happened, the description of what happened. These are the causes. Why did these things happen? And so, for example, the moon has a gravitational pull. That's the cause. The effect is, therefore, oceans have tides. And we can go on and on with different examples. A funny one is my puppy, Chai, when she was really little, she struggled eating. And you know me, as a puppy mom, I was like so concerned. She needs to eat food and be healthy. I need to be a good puppy mom. And so Nathan laughs at me for this. I started spoon feeding her. It's so dumb. Really, it is. I started spoon feeding her. And now, on occasion, okay, the effect of that is that depending on her mood, she will not eat her food unless I spoon feed it to her. She will go to her bowl and sit there nicely and look at it, then look at me. And then she like looks towards the cabinets where the spoons are. I promise you, she knows. And I actually have to spoon feed her on occasion. And that's totally my bad. Nathan is like, you just need to give her food and she'll eat if she's hungry. And I probably should do that. But I kind of spoil her at this point. And so here in Jeremiah 17, we see the cause of a man being cursed versus being blessed. We bring cursing and blessing onto ourselves based on the actions we take. When you look at these words, these are action words. Trust, okay, makes. Those are things that we do. We decide whether or not we have blessings or cursings or blessings in our life. And often we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't always do it. God allows us to make our own choices about whether to place our trust in Him or in man. The choices we make reflect the cause and the effects we see in our own lives of either a cursed or a blessed life. So let's examine our own hearts and lives to see if we are living a cursed or a blessed life. So the very first point I have, if you have your notes, you can go ahead and take that out and write these down. They are not super revolutionary, but they are things that we need to be reminded about. When we're trusting in the fountain of living waters, our lives will flourish. Now, the thing is about this is that our lives will flourish not because of ourselves, but because of the fountain of living waters. A lot of times, kind of like what Miss Jessica was saying, we get to the point where we think we're okay and our lives are kind of flourishing, right, in this area. But if it's not flourishing in this area, it's not too bad, right? Here in Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river." Now, trees do not choose where they are planted, okay? A tree doesn't just suddenly, it's not like a fantasy movie where the tree's all like, I'm going to go over here now, right? Okay, the trees are planted where they are, okay? Someone is planting them. However, in my opinion, I think that every person who receives the gift of salvation is planted by the fountain of living waters. So we have access to that fountain. And we're going to be able to tap into that abundant life. However, unless we're fully trusting in the Lord, we will be losing out on those blessings. Imagine that lush green tree that I brought up on the screen earlier. When we're saved but not trusting fully in the Lord, we would be like a tree planted by water, kind of like that tree I showed you. But we would be spreading our roots out to the driest places around us. And that would be so dumb. I mean, imagine this. You're a tree, and there's a river right there. And instead of tapping into that river, what are we doing? We're like looking for life elsewhere, where the life is right there, when the life is right there. And a lot of times we can get into that point. Now, when I was studying these verses, another passage in the Bible came to mind. Psalm 1. How many of you guys thought of this passage when I read the first passage? It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This is a flourishing life. In contrast, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. This is kind of like those bushes in the desert. They're like tumbleweed. They can just easily blow away. "Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Okay, the next point here is, when we're trusting in the fountain of living waters, we do not have to worry about circumstances. This is the heartbeat of what Miss Jessica also just said. Oftentimes, we say we're trusting in the fountain of living waters, but we're still worrying about all the other stuff, that baggage in our life. Here in Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, I'm going to continue here. This is the next point. "And shall not see when he cometh." I have no clue what that is. We're going to pretend like it's not a bad thing. "But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought." Here, the word "careful" isn't the idea of, like, I'm going to be careful to not burn my hand when I'm cooking. Mm-hmm. Not that I cook a whole lot, but here, "careful" has the idea of anxiety, mm-hmm. anxiousness, worry. So in the Christian life, there will be moments that feel like the heat is on. And like we're in the middle of a drought. Maybe we're facing tough times or persecution from those around us. But when our trust and hope is placed in the fountain of living waters, we don't have to look at the circumstances around us, because there will be bad circumstances in our life. When everything around us and everything about life seems like a drought, and when everyone around us is struggling to flourish where they're planted, we can still flourish. Yes, we live in a world that is beyond crazy. When I was studying this actually came to my mind. About a month ago or so, in our neighborhood, there were these people that were like trying to steal people's cars. And so these people at like 3 a.m. came by, and actually our neighbors had like surveillance, and they saw them trying to get into our car. But our next door neighbors had their car stolen. And the reaction, our whole neighborhood, we have this like neighborhood Facebook page, and it's actually kind of really funny. It's like a lot of drama. Nathan follows it. I'm like, this is your version of like tabloids or whatever. And our neighbors responded by saying, "We just bought a new gun. We got more security cameras. We're going to sleep by our front door, and we are going to catch these guys. They better not dare to come to our neighborhood." But then at the same time, you sense fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These people were afraid. They were doing these things as security because they did not have security. Mm-hmm. We, as Christians, don't have to live like that. Actually, Nathan and I, we kind of thought it was a little humorous. But at the same time, it was a great testimony of how it's like to have peace in the middle of things going on. We were like, we're fine. I mean, if God allows something bad to happen, he's going to find glory in it in some way. And so we slept fine. I mean, I'm sure our neighborhood was really safe because of all our other neighbors. So we had nothing to worry about. But at the same time, we were able to be secure and have peace. And how many of us in the world we live in have said, "Oh, my soul, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Did you hear what law got passed? Did you hear what legislation is going to be going up to the court or whatever?" All of that stuff, we don't have to worry about it. And I know, especially, I think about the teenagers, because we work with the teenagers. I've thought about things that they have to face. Nowadays, they're facing the whole homosexuality thing, where people society is teaching people that it's okay to choose what gender you are. And it's almost a cool thing to be a homosexual right now. And it's terrible what the teenagers have to face. But at the same time, I know that God had each and every one of us, each and every one of those teenagers born for such a time as this. And as Christians, it is our duty, really, to shine our light to everyone else. I think, because our neighbors, they know we're Christians. They know we're the church people. Actually, it's so funny. When we are walking around the neighborhood, we have a really good relationship with our neighbors. We walk our dog, and they see Levi and stuff, and we just love our neighbors. And I know that they know we're the church people, because whenever we start conversations with them, it comes up that it's like, oh yeah, we pray every day, like, and we just love the Lord. It's like they put on this Christian thing, which is fine. I mean, if they feel like they have to do that around us, I mean, that's a good testimony on us, I guess. But at the same time, I know they're watching us. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we have peace in situations like that is probably a lot more of a testimony to them than we even realize. Proverbs 27:13-14 says, I had fainted. I would have lost heart. I would have lost hope unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We see the goodness of the Lord every single day. And sometimes we see it, but we choose not to see it, right? We like to sometimes dwell on the negative things in our life when there are so many blessings that God has given us. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We need to remember to trust in the Lord and to make the Lord our hope. Now, the very last part of this section says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So this is the description of the blessed man. When we're trusting in the fountain of living waters, we will continue to flourish and to yield fruit. I've heard it said before that the thing about trusting God and being a living sacrifice is that a living sacrifice can get off the altar because it's alive. We can look back at a point in our lives when we trusted in the Lord and made him our sole hope. However, can we honestly say that we continuously do so? Or have we reverted to relying on our flesh? It's kind of like what Miss Jessica was saying. Are we taking back the jugs of the cares in our life? Have our hearts, everything unseen about us that makes us who we are, departed from the Lord? Many of us, without hesitation, listen to a lesson like this, and we would say, oh yeah, I live a blessed life. But more often than not, we can easily hold on to previous spiritual victories as trophies that don't represent present day victories. Okay, it's like the kid who gets the trophy for the coach's award, right? At the sports banquet, and you put it on the shelf, you know, and it collects dust, and we say, oh, but remember back then when I was in high school? It's like my saying, I played volleyball in high school. I'm nowhere near as fit as I was back then, nor probably as good as I was back then at volleyball. But if I held on to the fact that I got a trophy back then, I'm not actually victorious in that area anymore. Now, the rest of the passage I read, and you guys are probably thinking, why in the world did she include that in this lesson? And I actually always have thought that the verses that follow in our passage in Jeremiah 17 are kind of random. But as I studied more, I realized why God put them there. So we're going to go ahead and read them here. Jeremiah 17:9-13. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So it's saying here that our hearts are deceitful. Now, we pull this verse out and use it in different contexts, but here, this is in relationship to the blessing and the cursing. A lot of times we look at our own lives and we think, I'm blessed. I'm good to go. Like, I don't need to fix anything. And I, more than anyone else, know that I have tons to fix. I'm constantly growing, and I'm reading God's word, and I'm like, God, I know, I'm sorry. And here it's saying that even though you might think you're living a blessed life, you may actually be living a cursed life. The Lord is the one who can search our heart. He knows our hearts more than anyone else does. So it says here, as kind of an illustration, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. So it's kind of saying like a bird sitting on eggs, okay? You think of, for example, chickens. If I'm wrong about this, because I don't know a ton about chickens, just correct me afterwards. But if, from what I understand, this is what happens. There are either fertilized eggs or unfertilized eggs, correct? Am I right so far? So if a chicken sits on an unfertilized egg, is it going to hatch? No, right? If it sits on a fertilized egg, and it has a chance of hatching at that point, right? And so here it's kind of saying a partridge is a bird. A partridge sits on eggs and it doesn't hatch. It thinks that it has substance, but there's nothing in there, so it's not going to hatch. And then it continues, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. So the glorious high throne is the Lord's throne here. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And that's where I get that, the title, trusting in the fountain of living waters. Here we see that when we don't trust in the Lord fully, 100% in every area of our life, that's hard. Mm-hmm. We're not living a fully blessed life. And I think every single one of us can say that there might be a little area that we might need to fix. I know I have areas that I have to do. So it's easy to read the verses about cursing and blessing and assume that we're perfectly all right spiritually. For some reason, when I was writing this lesson, I thought of, have you guys ever watched Monsters, Inc.? Mm-hmm. Or Monsters University? I think of the scene where you have this, I guess it's the college group, that have the okay on their sweaters, and they're saying, we're okay, we're okay. And a lot of times I feel like we feel that way. We're okay, we're okay. But really what it's like is kind of like if you've seen Horton Hears a Who, they're those little tiny people. It's the Dr. Seuss book that are saying, we are here, we are here, we are here. Really all we're doing is we're just here. We're just barely surviving. We're here, but we need help, right? And so I think it's so funny. It is kind of ironic in the Monsters University a little bit. They thought that they were okay, but when you looked at them, they were probably the least likely candidates to win the competition. And a lot of times we think we're okay, but we're not. We need the Lord. Maybe we think we lean closer to the description about blessings than to the description about cursing. But if we aren't totally trusting in the Lord, we won't have a fully blessed life. And God knows the state of our hearts. Jeremiah 16:10-13 says, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? And what is our iniquity? So what's happening here? Basically, what's happening is the Israelites were asking, or basically, God was saying that the Israelites were going to do this. They were going to say, why is God bringing this evil on our lives? What's our iniquity? What have we done wrong? And the context of this is more like, we're okay. Why is God allowing these things to happen? Why is there cursing in our life? When, like, they obviously had reason. It says, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? And then this is the response. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve the other gods day and night, where I will show you favor. And so it's saying here, you think you're okay? The Israelites are going to come and say, God, why are you allowing these things? And the reason is they thought they were okay, but they weren't. And so we need to often reevaluate our own hearts with the light of God's word to see if our hearts have been deceitful to ourselves. a lot of times in the day and age we live in media even, I think of Disney, you know, follow your heart. It sounds so sweet and peachy, you know, but we really shouldn't follow our hearts because our hearts are deceitful. We think we're okay when we're not. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So the picture we have here is that they forsake the fountain of living waters. That's the Lord, yes. But what did they do as a response? It says that they hewed them out cisterns. So they made themselves like containers to hold water, but they were broken. That can't hold any water. It's kind of that picture where there's a tree by the river, and instead of seeking the river, the abundant life from the river right there, we're looking for life elsewhere where there is no life. We're making our own bowls of things we think will satisfy our lives. For some people, it might be that new dress. It might be that new relationship, maybe that new friendship, you know? Maybe this will finally give me the satisfaction and the fullness of my life that I need. But really, what we're doing is we're trying to make our own cisterns that are broken. They're empty. They can't fill us. We need to remember that Christ is the fountain of living waters. When we trust in man, or in ourselves, we will always come up dry. Now, personally, one of the biggest areas that I struggle with is trusting in man. I'm a very visual person, so for me, it's way easier to trust in something that is right in front of me. I know God's there, but sometimes we don't see him physically. He's not standing right there next to me. So often, who am I going to trust? A lot of times, I end up trusting my husband, Nathan. And he's not perfect. He, as much as some of you guys might think he's a wonderful, wonderful husband, but he's not perfect. And if I rely on him, I'm going to come up empty. I'm going to come up dry. And I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be let down. Hey, I have great friendships with people. A lot of times when I have problems, I want to go to them and tell them my problems. I want to tell my parents my problems because I know they will listen. But they aren't always going to be there, you know? When I think about it, God is always there, always there. Excuse me. I have a little bit of allergies. Got to catch this really quickly. I'm sorry. Don't worry. It's not COVID. I got a COVID test just a few days ago to visit Nathan's grandma in her facility. But I have hand sanitizer, so we're all good. Because hand sanitizer fixes everything, right? So Christ freely offers us abundant life that we can daily live. But it's a decision. We need to trust him fully, fully, 100%. If we haven't been trusting in the fountain of living waters, we can begin to do so again today because God is compassionate. So for many of us, me included, maybe there's an area in your life that you wrote down during Miss Jessica's session that you aren't completely trusting in the Lord with. If you aren't trusting him in that area, why not trust him today? Today is the turning point of that area for you. It can be. Deuteronomy 31:3 says, "And it shall come to pass when all these things come upon thee, the blessing and the curse." This is talking about the Israelites, okay? So basically, they have seen God's blessings at this point, and they've also seen God's cursings at this point, which I have set before thee. "And thou shalt call them to mind among the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." Okay, so God allowed them to be in captivity at this point. "And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart," everything about you that makes you you that is unseen, "and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee." I mean, when you read through the Old Testament, how many times did the Israelites fail God and God kept forgiving them and loving them? God does the same thing with us. And a lot of times, either we aren't hard enough on ourselves to see the sin that is in our hearts, or sometimes we are too hard on ourselves, mm-hmm. where we think, God can't forgive me for this. I'm way far gone. And I've been at that point before where I thought, God can't forgive me for this. I've messed up way too many times. And really, that goes against God's character. God is loving. He's a God of mercy. And we know that he will have mercy on us if we place our trust in him once again. We can live a blessed and victorious Christian life because the fountain of living waters lives inside of us once we're saved. So like I said, this idea really spans throughout the whole Bible, and we're going to see even more how that is the case. Now, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know if they have the fountain of living waters living inside of them, I would love to show you some verses from God's word about how you can know for sure. So I would love to speak with you afterwards. But for those of you guys who are saved, there is hope because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. In John 7, 37 through 39, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" Here, belly has the idea of heart, actually. It's not like your belly, because if waters were flowing out of your belly, that would be a little concerning. I mean, obviously it's not flowing out of your heart, but you kind of get the picture better when you think about it, how it actually is meaning. And it says here, "But this spake he of the Spirit." So this is actually talking about the Holy Spirit. This living water that it's talking about is talking about the Holy Spirit. It's God. "Which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So at this point, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. But ladies, the Holy Spirit already has come. If you're saved, you have that fountain living right inside of you. So we can live victoriously. I don't know why we don't, but we don't. We fail. But like the last point, God is compassionate. So keep relying on him. We can live a blessed and victorious Christian life because the fountain of living waters reigns and will continue to reign on the throne. So we know that Christ wins. At the end of the story, at the end of the book, we are victorious. Sometimes it feels like we're constantly losing as Christians, you know, based off of what media puts out on the news and all the articles that come out. But as Christians, we win because Christ is on the throne. In Revelation 7, 13 through 17, this is a vision that is seen of what is to come. And so it says here, "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, 'What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?' And I said unto him, 'Sir, thou knowest.' And he said to me, 'These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them.'" He that sitteth on the throne, that's God, that's Christ. He's the one who reigns. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne," that's the Lamb that died, that's Jesus who died on the cross for our sins so that we can have eternal life, the source of abundant life, the fountain of living waters. Okay, so "for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." This is the hope we have to look forward to. Why do we hope in everything else around us? Why do we forget that he is the source of abundant life? In Revelation 21, 1 through 6, I think I was thinking about Revelation a lot because my husband's preaching through Revelation. And so these verses are like in my mind a lot. But actually, this is the theme I was telling you. Remember how I was saying at the beginning that we started off in the Old Testament, and here we are at the end of the book. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. So basically, God is going to live with us. Obviously, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us now, but this is going to be more intense. Sorry, lost my place. Okay. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, remember who that is, said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So there's that picture going all the way throughout. And then lastly, here we have, I know I'm going through a lot of scripture, but I think that's why we're here, right? Woman of the Word. We're here to learn God's Word, okay? So I don't want to give you what I think. I'm giving you what the Bible says. Revelation 22, 1 through 5 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Do you see that in your head? Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This image is so beautiful because all throughout we know in God's word that Christ is the source of abundant life, of the fountains of living water. And it's up to us whether or not we want to tap into that now. We're gonna have a part of that later too. But we can tap into it even now. And a lot of us are thinking, well, I'm going to be in heaven one day. I'll enjoy it there. But we can enjoy it now. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's the end of our story. And it's not really an end. It's kind of a restart where we have abundant life continuously. Now, the question I have for you is, are you living that life abundantly today? It is neat to see how the thread is drawn all the way through to the end of the Bible, that Christ is the source of abundant life. But who better to entrust our worries, our concerns, and our heartaches to than the fountain of living waters? I mean, the other passage that I didn't even get to or put in the lesson because of time was when, you know, you have the lady at the well, remember? Now, Jesus was talking about salvation in that sense, but it's kind of like that. If we have the source right there, why not tap into that? Oh, so this is the rest of that passage again. I'm just going to read it one more time so that we can kind of refresh our minds of what we just studied earlier. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Okay, are we trusting in man more than in God? And maketh flesh his arm. Are we depending on the strength of man? And whose heart departeth from the Lord, have our hearts departed from the Lord? For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them, So he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool, a glorious high throne from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. That's the Lord, O Lord, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So this morning, I think it's still morning. Well, that clock is really off. I'm actually right about to be on time here. This morning, let us remember to put our trust in every area of our life in the fountain of living waters. And this is a little bit, I know, kind of cliche, but we don't always choose where we're planted. But where we are planted, we can bloom. Okay, a lot of times I think people take this in a different sense, but bloom where you are planted in the sense that Christ is the source of life. So when you see this somewhere off, out and about, actually, I pulled this up. I was at Aldi in the random aisle that I just love. And I snapped a picture of this because I was texting Nathan if I can buy it. But I forgot he was in the middle of teaching his class and I had to leave the store beforehand. But I got a picture of it. It almost ended up on my front door. But basically, bloom where you are planted. If God has planted you somewhere, remember, it's in the, a lot of people say bloom where you are planted in the sense that you're planted here, so everything in you, you know, be as good as you can be where you are. That's kind of what people take that as. But take it as God has planted you somewhere, so trust in him and bloom because he's the source of everlasting abundant life. Okay. So that's what I have for you ladies. I hope it was a blessing to you. This is something that I needed to learn. It's a great reminder because there are areas in my life I'm still working on, and I will still be working on things my whole life, I'm sure. But with God's help, if we're trusting in the fountain of living waters, we will be okay. We're okay. Okay, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time that we had in your word. I thank you for the truths you have in your word, that you want us to draw closer to you. I pray that you'd forgive us for all the times that we forget about you and rely on ourselves or rely on other people or rely on the world around us. Lord, we need you. And thankfully, we can have you living inside of us, and we have that hope that you're going to reign at the end and constantly be giving us that abundant life, Lord. But let's live abundantly and victoriously in our Christian lives today with you as our source of life. In your name I pray. Amen.